Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Yeah. You rock stars. Yeah. It's awesome. Glad you're here this morning.
Good morning. My name is Miranda. For some of those who don't know me, I've been up here a few times in the past. So a year ago to this week, I had what some doctors would, and maybe psychologists would refer to as a nervous breakdown. You know that feeling you get when someone kind of like hides and then jumps out and scares you and you're like totally not expecting it? Or the feeling you get in your body when you witness kind of a horrific accident or your kid does something really stupid and dangerous? Your limbs kind of go a little numb. Your heart pounds outside of your chest. You can almost like chew on it. It's just right here. Your body tenses up. And it's this feeling of intense dread and fear. I think all of us have kind of experienced that. It's called the fight or flight response. It's when our bodies go into this sympathetic nervous system. And those are the symptoms that kind of follow. On a day much like today, my body entered into that state for 10 whole days, for 24 hours, wouldn't let up. I woke up one morning feeling just weird. You see, I'm not someone who feels anxious or dread. And I felt this fear in my body, and there was nothing in my brain, no story that would create this kind of fear. It just was there. And I didn't understand it, so I didn't talk about it to anybody. And so I kind of just went through my day and just I just kind of distracted myself. Maybe it will go away. And by nightfall, that's when the first panic attack hit. And it was so bad. I remember lying in bed and feeling like I just couldn't get enough breath. I just couldn't breathe. I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel my hands. My heart was pounding so hard. I had never felt my heart in such a real way. And I thought I was dying. I remember waking my husband up and being like, I think we need to go to the hospital. And I'm not someone who ever needs to go to the hospital. That's like, I'll wait. And I was like, something's happening. This is bad. And my husband, being the calm guy that he is, just kind of was like, you know, let's just walk. I'm just going to walk with you. And so he walked with me around the house as I tried to put my feet underneath me, but I felt nothing. And he poured me a hot bath and put some lavender in it. And at 2 a.m., he opened up Dr. Google and started reading to me about panic attacks. And I didn't sleep much that night because I fought off my body's urge to freak the hell out all the time. So I woke up the next morning, and my a-hole brain scanned my body to look to see, is it there? Is it still there? And sure enough, it was. And so I had another panic attack, and then another panic attack, and then another panic attack. They were just coming in waves. And I could not stop them. There was no mind over matter. There was no like rational to why my body was doing this. And the crazy thing was is that we were supposed to leave to Vegas, of all places, the most stimulating place. And my body is very stimulated at this moment, in a matter of days. I remember calling my sister on the day that I was packing to leave. And I was curled up in this fetal position in front of my oven, crying and just being like, you need to help me. I can't breathe. Help me. Be with me. And so she did. I'm lucky to have such great family. I spent the days feeling like I was literally hovering above myself, like complete disconnection. It was like I was losing touch with reality, and I felt like I was going crazy. And to be honest, I probably kind of was. I feared that maybe I was going to be like this forever, because at this point it felt like there was no end. Every day I woke up, and every day I scanned my body, and every day the fear was there. I remember the last day of Vegas, I sat talking with my best friend across from me, and I remember just crying to her, being like, when is this going to end? I felt like my body was a stranger, and I did not trust it. I didn't trust my brain. I just felt like an alien, like, who are you? I felt really betrayed by both of them. I'm usually someone who sees the best in all situations, a glass half full kind of girl. But these dark days were like hopeless. Nothing I did seemed to calm my body down. It was acting as if it was this toddler throwing a tantrum in the middle of a grocery store because it couldn't take home all the candy. And I was stuck in it. My family was really shocked by this. I would have been voted least likely to lose her shit if that was an actual thing. Many times over the course of the next year, I would hear them say things like, I never thought, Miranda, I never thought this would happen. She's the strong one. Like, what happened? And it was true. I was the strong one. I was the one that held everybody up when life was throwing them blows. I was the one who helped people manage their emotions and their life, all the while kind of neglecting my own feelings. I kind of just believed that everybody else was susceptible to breaking, and I wasn't, until I learned that I was no exception, that it existed in me too. In the beginning, I really struggled when the nervous breakdown hit. I really struggled with the reason, like the question of why. Like, why me? Why now? What did I do wrong? What did I miss? Why am I so weak? At the time, my husband was working 7 days a week for an entire month straight. We have three little boys that would have been age three, two three-year-olds and a six-year-old. And so it was busy. It was stressful. What was it? That stressful that my body needed to freak out for 10 whole days? I started to kind of look back over the course of the last year, and there were some things, there were some cracks that I started to see starting to open. Shame. Unyielding, unrelenting, painful shame. I remember thinking about friends who were accomplishing these big things and that I should have felt joy over. And instead I had this feeling that the words in my head would be like, but why are you such a failure? But why are you so less than? There's nothing special about you. You're just basic. And then I would feel shame about not being able to be happy for them and being in, you know, feeling so terrible about myself that then I would go into the cycle of, well, how can I make myself feel better about myself? Which doesn't really last. I have stomach issues. And so when things are bad, I get really tight and tense in my stomach, and my stomach hurt to touch. Sadness. Oof. I had this deep sadness. And when that happens and you don't want to share that, don't meet with Vince, because Vince will point it out every chance. You're like, I didn't even feel that. What sadness? What are you talking about? You see, my friend a couple of years ago, she had said to me, why is it that I always bleed every time I come and see you? I just bleed everywhere. And yet you never bleed when you're with me. And I said, well, that's because I stopped the bleeding before I ever talk about it. I don't bleed. I don't expose my soft parts. My belief system, if any of you guys were here 2 years ago and you heard my spiel about losing my idea of who God was, my belief system, that was huge because that's where I bled. And so all of a sudden that was gone. I felt disconnected from everybody and everything. And I just always kind of wonder, like, why don't they want to be around me? Why don't people like me? But it was me that was disconnected, not them. And I think the reason why none of this stuff really looked like warning signs to me was because I've experienced them before. But I've always managed to fix it, to rationalize my way through it. But for the first time in my life, I was stuck. I had no tools to get out of this situation. I always knew how to manage my own stuff, and I couldn't this time. I didn't know how to. I was stuck.
Oh, that's Miranda, hey? If you didn't know Miranda before, now you know a little bit better.
I'm Miranda. I'm nervous about. Yeah.
Glad you're here this morning. Miranda, I appreciate you opening up and telling your story. It seems like this isn't the first time you've opened up and told your story.
No. Yeah. I often lead with, "Hey, hello, my name is Miranda and I've had a nervous breakdown."
This morning we're exploring what's underneath some of these very human meltdowns. Now, your story might not be as extreme as Miranda's. Maybe you've had little mini breakdowns. Maybe you've had some mini hijacks by some part of you at some point surprised you, reared its head, and you had no answer for what was going on. Yeah, chances are you've had them. Maybe some of you had some really bad ones. There are some experts out there who would say that, and I know especially in the Enneagram world, they talk about how our bodies, our minds, different parts of us have such incredible intelligence that it's like at different times something is going on inside of us and it's setting off an alarm. It's like a warning light appears on your dashboard, warning you something is happening that needs attention. But what happens so often is we're not paying attention. We're not seeing or we see the flashing light, but we don't want to know what that means. Or how bad it is, or what it would mean to actually address it. And so part of our lives are spent ignoring the dashboard. Today we want to talk about the dashboard. Talk about the different parts of us that send off signals that are saying, hey, 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 down here you got an issue before it's too late. I asked Miranda to talk about some of the parts of us that set off these signals. Maybe we could just start there. There's a really big three big ones, obviously. And do you want to just speak to them?
Yeah. Let's start. So there's three. They're called the intelligences. They're kind of like the way that we perceive, the way that we receive information, the world around us. They take it in. I think we kind of always think our head is the only place that moves things through, but these things are all separate. They all speak their own language. They all have their own knowing. So we'll start with the head center, aka the thinking center. So the true nature of the mind is actually stillness, silence, spaciousness. It's what's referred to as the quiet mind. So I was listening to this podcast once, and the lady said, she used this really interesting analogy. She said, it's like when a stick gets thrown. Don't be like the dog who chases the stick. Be like the lion who turns around and looks where the stick is coming from. So what I mean by that is the stick is your thoughts, and the dog chases the thoughts. So we chase our thoughts. Sometimes it's anxious thoughts, sometimes it's out of fear, sometimes it's out of boredom. We kind of are always looking for ways to fix things or understand things or find meaning. And so the quiet mind is comfortable just being observing, being like the lion and just kind of looking, where are those thoughts coming from? And you can only really do that by being in the present. So the mind is at ease being in the present moment. It's here, it's now.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Just
curious, just because we have this incredible level of intelligence from our mind, it can observe what's going on. What happens though when, like, what would it look like if, say, there was a problem and the mind started picking up that we've got some issues? What would the dashboard, or what would the symptoms of problems that the mind would send off right away?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that we're all pretty different human beings, and so we do things differently. Mm-hmm. I think, though, a common symptom when things are not in balance is you will notice your brain gets really chatty, like really chatty. If you were to stop and think or stop and observe your own chattiness, you would find that your brain is literally describing everything it sees. It's like, car, car, blue car. Oh, nice car. Can I have that car? Do I have enough money for that car? I wonder if that person's wealthy. And it just goes. It has to name everything. It has to know everything. It is just busy. So it gets chatty. You'll notice that if you deal with anxiety, it's really chatty, and it starts to kind of go into fear. And you feel that in your body, because your body doesn't know the difference between what is real fear and not real fear. So if you're thinking it, your body's going to react anyway. So it gets chatty.
How many know of themselves that when something is going on in your life and you're feeling it, you can sense your mind is just going into hyperdrive? It's like you wake up in the middle of the night and it's just like firing, playing through scenarios. Even during the day, it's hard not to let your mouth follow it. It's having to speak everything you're seeing. Ever have found yourself in that place? That's some, for some, anyways.
Yep.
I can identify with that deeply.
Oh yeah, me too, for sure.
All right, so that's the mind.
So that's the head center. Next is the heart center. Most of us kind of look at the heart center as a place that we just feel our emotions, which is absolutely true. It is, but it's a little bit more than just that. It's actually the seat of our identity. So it's, we know who we are in that place. It's actually where we're able to feel a sense of meaning and sacredness and the connection of our own lives and the lives of the people around us. When our hearts are open and grounded, we feel a sense of value and love that has nothing to do with what any outside source thinks or says about us, and nothing to do with our past history. It is in this place that we understand that we are not only loved by the divine, but that we partake in that presence of love. That love resides in us. And when we are open and grounded, that is the love that starts to pour out into the world. We start to realize that we are not only loved and valued, but that we are love and value.
So when I hear you say that, for someone who's really paying attention to their heart intelligence, they are really sensitive to the people around them, connecting with them, feeling and exchanging deep love or care or connection.
Yep.
Like that's what the heart is good at doing. It's,
yes.
It's scanning for your level of interaction with others, and so value by others?
Nope. When the heart is grounded in itself, it's not scanning from value for others.
Hmm.
You just know that value exists in you, and you can then share it and be in the presence of it with others, and that creates connection.
Okay. So if, say, something is going on,
yeah.
Maybe there's been a relational turmoil that you've experienced or whatever. Maybe there's a big fight with your spouse, partner, kid. Stuff going on at work. You're pissed off at a manager or whatever. stuff is going on. How does the heart send off signals? Or how would it be triggering you saying, we've got problems over here? What, would there be some patterns that would be general?
Well, kind of. It's hard, again, because, you know, each personality is so different. And so under each of these triads, there's primarily three personalities that will be under it, and that just means that they have uniquenesses to that center and liabilities to it. There's blockages there. So with the heart, so say like a type 4.
So you're speaking of the Enneagram right
Enneagram.
Now.
Enneagram. I'm sorry. I'm speaking Enneagram right now.
Yeah. So for those that don't understand, or even that, it's another personality test that kind of you find your personality, your number,
yeah.
And then within that, there's some common traits that follow in these groupings.
Yes.
So go back to that now.
So different types will respond differently. So one particular type, well, I won't name the numbers because it's irrelevant. But so one particular type will actually reach out to other people and become overly consumed with how everybody else is doing. Another type will become super emotional and almost be too deeply in their feelings. And that's another sign that they're not connected to their heart. So it really plays very differently. And for each person, it's going to also look very different. So that one is a little bit tough,
okay.
I think. Yeah.
Let's talk about the body, the third and the final one that we'll...
Okay, yeah. So the point of this center is for us to feel the immediacy of life, the realness of everything. It's literally right here and right now. Being in the body is the direct experience to our existence. This basically means being present to the sensations your body feels right now. So if you were to think right now, do you feel your body? Do you feel your body's weight in the chair? Do you feel the earth kind of come up and kind of hold you there? Do you feel your feet in your shoes and what that feels like? Or your heart? Can you actually feel it beat in your chest at this moment? Literally means feeling the sensations of your body. And it is typically the first place that will expose us to something being wrong.
It's funny, we were chatting the other day and you're talking about how common it is for people not to really pay attention to all the signals the body's giving off.
Yeah.
From the time we're young, when we won't pay attention when we have to take a leak. You know, it's like... And all of a sudden, a kid is like, I gotta go right now. It's like, whoa, you were just sitting here playing or talking or whatever. And it's like, all of a sudden, that alarm bell rang too hard. And it's like, I'm running. I need something right now. From something simple like that as a young child to being so tired and just kind of determined to power through things.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of different ways that we kind of ignore signals from the body.
Yeah, I was thinking, how many of us have said, oh, my shoulders are tense, just feeling a lot of stress. But the only way you know you're feeling stressed is because your body's hurting. Your body's saying, there's something going on inside that is not balance. Something's wrong. But we're just kind of like, it's just my body's reaction to stress. And it is. But your body is telling you, there's a warning sign here, something is not balanced inside. So our bodies are really intelligent and kind of being the first responders to something being off or wrong.
This became really prominent in your world a year ago.
Yes.
And it's kind of strange as we're talking about this because this is some of the learning that you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
But didn't realize how neglected it had been in your own life.
Yeah.
Talk about how this information showed up for you a year ago.
So I started therapy. It was needed very desperately. It was the first thing I did when I got back from Vegas. I remember sitting with her, and the first thing I said was like, what is going on? It's like, why did my body do this? It felt so unfair. And she kind of just said, well, somewhere along the lines, you kind of separated your head and your body. They kind of like divorced. So they were no longer communicating. But here's the thing. Just because your head does not acknowledge pains or emotional pains, physical, whatever, your body is still taking the blows. It is still absorbing all of that information. But now you're no longer processing that information. So where does it go? Well, the body is really accommodating. So what it does is it just stores it. It's like energy. It just stores energy. Doesn't matter how painful, whatever it is, it stores it in your body. And I stored mine for so long that it finally exploded in a way. It just poured out.
So you're in this therapy, and she starts explaining this to you.
Yeah.
I'm just curious she said. How did she?
So the interesting thing about the therapy that I go to, I don't know if any of you've heard of the Hakomi therapy method. It is literally going into the body, searching for that energy, and allowing yourself to release it. So I remember one of the first things she did with me. It was one of my first sessions. I was still very spazzy in my body. It was very reactive. She wanted to do a grounding exercise. So she told me to place my feet on the ground, and she just wanted all of my awareness to go to my feet. And so I sat there, and I was like, okay. And after a few minutes, she's like, so what do you feel? And I was like, nothing. I don't feel anything, like no sensation. She's like, okay, we're just going to stay here a bit longer. I just want you to keep your awareness down there. And so we waited a couple minutes. She asked, so what do you feel? And I was like, well, I think I feel like something from my ankle all the way to my knee, but it's like a string and it's only on the one side. She goes, okay, we're just gonna stay here a little bit longer. And it's like, okay. And within seconds, this gush of feeling just flooded my legs, and this well of emotion just came out, and it was so intense, and I was like, what was that? And she's like, well, sometimes we store our emotions in our legs. I was like, oh, okay, good to know. So anyway, I'm going to find where I'm at. I lost my spot.
So you're pushing kind of through this process of just feeling your body.
Yes. Yes. So the early days were really about me not feeling any sensations in my body. I remember crying in therapy, and she'd be like, so what is that? And I'd be like, I have no idea. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's sadness. I don't know if it's fear. Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand my own emotions, or else I would just be talking and she'd be like, what was that? Something happened with your face. And I'm like, I didn't feel it. I don't know what that was. I was so quick to just whoosh, down. So I remember, so I've been seeing my therapist for almost a year now. And so I remember going in to see her probably sometime in like February. She's like, how's things going? I'm like, great. Oh, I feel good. Things are good. I'm like doing these healthy things. I've got all this, you know, stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm so happy. Can we go into your body? And I was like, great. My body's not going to lie. It's going to tell you exactly what I just told you. So I get into my body and I focus all my awareness into my heart. And guess what pops up? Sadness. Sadness. And it was so surprising. And I felt really angry about it, that it surprised me. But it was there, and I didn't even know it. And so that's the kind of work that her and I are doing. It's this kind of long-term work. You can't do that kind of stuff, because this is the stressors, the stuff that happened kind of early childhood, certain behaviors that we learn to live by, patterns that we created to kind of just survive our world around us. And so those are the things that she has to help me through to kind of pull out that energy to change the story around.
So like when you're in this session, mm-hmm. and she says, let's go into your body.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I've not experienced anything like that, but How do you do that? Like, what would you do?
Well, for me, I start by breathing, just feeling your breath, and then focusing your attention onto the sensations of your body. And it feels weird because you're like, well, I feel a pang here and something kind of twitched over here. And the more you kind of start to just feel your body, like I'm just talking literally the sensations of your body, you kind of just say it, well, I'm feeling really tight in my chest. Okay, let's just focus our awareness on that tightness in your chest. What does it feel like? Well, it kind of feels like a ball. Oh, is it like a hard ball? Is it movable? It's like, that's pretty solid. It's a solid ball. And then the emotion wells up. Oh, it's sadness. Okay, I got to let some of this out. And then it moves. And you're like, it moved. It's in my throat now. But it's the same ball. And that energy just kind of shifts and you just focus all your awareness to it. Your brain's not saying anything about it. It's not telling you what it is. It's not trying to figure it out or fix it. It's just going, oh, what's that feeling? I'm just going to stay with that feeling. And that's all it is. Yeah.
There's a skeptic side of me when I hear this, because I think I've lived in a world where when problems have come, we've gone to a doctor to give us some kind of physical diagnosis.
Yeah.
Or we've gone to a psychologist and might diagnose something mentally that maybe, or, you know, relation is going on. But this concept of the body and paying attention to the body is a new concept.
Yeah.
And yet, as we've talked, there have been times when as you've been talking, telling your story, I've thought back to different times when I could feel stuff going on inside of me that I've just, I have no data for, and so I ignore. Mm. And since we've chatted, of course, start Rolodexing. I'm thinking about family members. I'm thinking, you know, I think about Kathy often when she's stressed. I can watch physically. I can almost predict how soon either a headache will land, sickness of some sort, or whatever. Like, I have enough data points to go, our body has incredible intelligence.
Yeah.
And as we start chatting, you're saying, like you've told me, actually the body is kind of, if you want to get in tune with your dashboard, it kind of starts
in the body.
There, mm-hmm. Being more in tune with it. So this therapist has been kind of leading you to a place to kind of get more and more in touch, saying start there with the body. So what has been your takeaway, or how do you do this when you're not in that therapist's office? Because many of us would never say, go see her or whatever.
Well, let's be honest, it's expensive, and I have three kids, so it's not like I have a ton of time. So I don't go very often. I go every 8 weeks. And I was actually finding myself a little bit plateauing and being like, I'm still feeling things. I'm just kind of waiting for her to fix me a little bit. Like, okay. And I remember watching the documentary Heal, and something inside of me just was like, click. I felt it. It was like, I'm in. I haven't been participating in my own healing journey. I've just been waiting for everybody else to heal me for this just to end. And all of a sudden I felt like, oh, I'm in. And so one of the things that they had kind of discussed was meditation, which my therapist also discussed, was this might be good for you. And so I actually started meditating in February every day.
On your own?
On my own. I follow a podcast that I kind of just took a risk with, and it was pretty awesome.
How did you pick the podcast?
I literally Googled meditation podcast.
How many use an app, meditation app of any, the Calm?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the app that you chose?
It's a podcast called The Mindful Minute, and she takes you through, is it up there?
The Mindful Minute.
The Mindful Minute. She takes you.
Yeah. Is that it?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe. Yes, it is. It's purple, right?
Okay, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
She takes you through like a 30-minute guided meditation. So she talks for a little bit, she guides your body, and then it's silent for about 20 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you start meditating.
Yep.
and helpful?
Game changer for me. It's so hard to even give it words, but the way that I can express it is, so my best friend told me this story, or this had this beautiful analogy a couple of years ago. That's how far behind I am. She had said, it was kind of this time where she was getting really bogged down by all these little details of life. And she said, it's kind of like I'm looking at a picture this close and all I see is the blur. And so she's like, it's not until you can like take a step back that all of a sudden I can see the big picture and I'm not so bogged down by those details. I see the whole thing. Meditation is kind of like that. It's kind of like the step back. So I'm not this close to my behaviors, my reactions, my unhealthy thoughts. You kind of all of a sudden create this space between you and your thing, mm-hmm. or the stuff that's kind of bogging you down, mm-hmm. or blocking you, or blocking these centers, and you can kind of now see them.
You know what I want you to do is,
yeah.
I want to play some music, and I want, because some of you have done this before, some of you have never meditated before, but I've asked you if you would just lead us in one this morning, and I think there's something to this, and so anyways, would you
yes.
do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you just be open to this? Just to close your eyes, perhaps.
Yes.
Open your heart. I'll let you go.
Okay. I want you to just adjust yourself in your seat, get a little bit more comfortable. You can either rest your back against the back of your chair or sit up straight. Whatever is most comfortable for you. Let your feet rest flat on the earth. And all of us together, wherever we are, however we are seated, let's just take two cleansing breaths. Breathe in deeply, and then let out a sigh. One more time. Inhaling, breathing in, filling yourself up. And then sigh it out, letting go. And then let go. Let your breath flow just as it wants to. Nice and easy, in and out. And with that, we give ourselves the gift of just settling. There's nothing you need to do here, nothing you need to accomplish. We can just allow the full weight of our bodies to settle into the chair beneath us. I just want you to notice your spine. Lift up just a half an inch taller. A tall, straight spine just reminds us to be awake. And to be present. The crown of your head is lifted, your neck long, and the muscles through your face are soft. Soft forehead, soft eyes, even relaxing through the lips and through the jaw, inviting the muscles through the throat just to let go, just so you're not holding on to anything. Just roll your shoulders back. And let them fall down, opening up your chest and just giving a little bit more space. And we might notice our chest at this time. Whether it feels full or empty, tight, or maybe it just feels numb. We might even notice if we feel uncomfortable and where we might feel that in our body. And that we don't need to get rid of that feeling, that is allowed to exist in this experience. It is welcome. And then we move down to our bellies, letting go of the muscles in your belly, letting your belly feel soft and free. We feel ourselves seated right in the balance of being awake and being relaxed. And with an internal letting go, you just might begin to feel your breath. And as you take this next breath in, just noticing the sensation of it. Maybe you'll feel it right in your nose, or maybe the sensation is in the back of your throat. Wherever you feel it, just placing all your awareness on that spot of sensation. And it doesn't take more than a moment to notice. Even as you feel your breath, thoughts continue. Noises distract us, memories, ideas. As each distraction arises today, we just let it roll by. They are totally welcome to be here as part of our experience. And with kindness, we simply return to the breath. As we settle into a little moment of silence here, you will stay with the feeling of the breath. You will notice each distraction with a smile and return back to the breath. So I'm just going to give us 1 minute of silence and then I'll bring us back out. We're just going to take one more quick cleansing breath. And just let your body just let go. You may open your eyes and come back. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, we wanted to explore what it looks like, what it can look like to pay closer attention to each of these centers. And obviously there's so much we could dove into. But we want to encourage you, even as one action step this week, to practice this. Start with the body. Start there. Take time to be in this moment, to silence everything, and let that, from there, kind of creep in. And you know, it's amazing if you can learn to stay present, to be in this. It's amazing what your observer, the lion, can observe in terms of warning signals, stuff that's going on, how you can come out going, whoa, I think we got an issue here. You can. Mm-hmm. Is that what you found, Miranda?
Yeah, it gave space so that I wasn't so identified with everything I was feeling and everything that was going on in my head. So a step back, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there you are. Okay, I see you. I don't have to get rid of you. I'm not going to judge you or be mad at you, but I see you.
Hmm. A lot can start with meditation.
Yeah.
Whether you have an app, whether you want to do some yoga, I mean, these are things that we tried at Friends Church about 4 or 5 years ago. People freaked out. It's like, oh, this is
how we've grown. The devil.
And maybe that's you this morning. And if this is tripping you out, write me an email. Come and talk to me after. Let's chat. I just think there's a whole area here that we have not paid attention to. In fact, not this next week, but the following week, the 27th. If you can put that up, Esmond, we're actually having someone come in. We're going to do a meditation, a community meditation here at Friends. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd like you to sign up. There's limited space, so it's a first come, first serve. You want to climb onto our app, it's there. You can sign up and be involved in that. Would you take an active step to pay attention? And whatever that looks like, maybe let me just say this. Maybe right now you're going, I got no issues. I got no problems, Jeff. I'm good. I hope everyone else that is here has problems is listening. That's great. You're a prime candidate for exactly what we're talking about.
It's so true.
And so perhaps deep down inside, you know that there's a warning light that's been gone, but you're too scared to even look at it, to think about it, to go there. Maybe there's some deep stuff. Maybe there's stuff from you. I don't know. But would you be brave this week to pay attention to some warning light that may be blinking? Whether it's something with your health, something emotionally, whatever it is, take a moment. Do whatever it takes to get in touch and deal with whatever it is might be there. Yeah, that's it. I want to thank Miranda for coming and opening up with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Get signed up on the app, and we'll join you back here next week. I'm going to talk about prayer. My journey with prayer. I want to revisit it. Lots of changes in my own life around that topic. Maybe you have lots of questions, concerns about it. Maybe you've worried that we don't pray enough around here, or I've heard differently. Why doesn't Vince pray at the end of his message? Jeff, why do you pray that way at the end of your... Yeah. All right, so we're going to go there next week. We'll see you. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the sun.